This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We've read the sermon text as our gospel reading. We're going to hear that little section, verses 2 to 4. It goes like this. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. A portion of God's word before us, let's offer a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow sinners, whose sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Put this down here. Cleanliness. We live in a country, in a world, in a place that strives for cleanliness. I do, you do too. We sanitize our kitchen counters. We scrub our pots and pans. We scour everything. We're taught, scrub, wash your hands before you eat. We know that besides in our kitchen, we keep our house clean, periodically vacuuming, washing, waxing floors, maybe even shampooing carpets. Maybe doing an even better job of cleaning when guests are coming. We do the same for our car. Periodically, we take it to a place to wash it or wash it ourselves in the driveway. We vacuum out the interior. We clean around the tires and the hubcaps because we prize cleanliness. I can remember growing up and someone teaching me godliness and cleanliness go together. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, why want to talk about cleanliness today? Why do I want to speak about being clean? This message isn't about how well you wash your car, or how clean a kitchen you keep, or how well you Windex the windows. It's about clean hearts. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Today's message is about those clean hearts. We know Psalm 51, verse 10, that we've sang for years. Lord, please create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Those clean hearts of ours, by nature, they're like our homes, like our kitchens, like our basements, like our garages before we clean. Our hearts are full of grime and grit. And they're dirty and filthy, full of sin. We've come to know what sin means. Sin's a word that means missing the mark. God would have our actions. What has he told us? What has he commissioned and called us to be? Perfect. Be perfect. Be holy as I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And we want to throw our hands up in despair and disgust and say, oh, holy Lord, I'm a little bit short. A lot bit short. And do you know what? When God has commissioned and commanded us to be holy and sinless, he never, ever has wavered from that command. He still commands you and me, be holy, be perfect. A day is coming, for sure, when you'll stand before your Maker. I don't know exactly how the wording will be and for eternity, but he could ask you by name, as you look back on your life, were you holy? Were you perfect? I commanded you to be holy and perfect. Were you holy and perfect? And you know which way your head's going to be nodding? Yes, in Christ. Because our Christian faith is based on that wonderful exchange. Some have called it the great exchange. All of my sins Christ got, paid for in full. He said, it's finished, it's done, paid for in full. He got all my sins, yours too, world's sins. What did we get in the great exchange? His record of holy and perfect, credited to our account, mine and yours, by grace through faith. What a Savior. That Savior who's by his grace, by his Spirit's work at baptism, has brought faith into our hearts, and faith in Jesus brings forgiveness, full and free and complete. And in this message today, we're talking about how fantastic forgiveness is. Fantastic. Beyond words, forgiveness is fantastic. What my Savior God has done for me and for you. Think about our Savior and all the different ways we think about that fantastic forgiveness. So we talked about sin being missing the mark. God wants like a bullseye and a dartboard. He wants our actions to be dead right on always. We're all over the board. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer, at least in the old version, for years and years, forgive us our trespasses. I'm not sure if we always understood what we were saying when we said, forgive us our trespasses. We know that's another word for sin. But we know what it means to trespass. A trespass means we're going to cross a forbidden line. If it's somebody's property, this here is okay, over there I'm trespassing. We have a God who said, these actions, these things in my commandments, you can do these other things. When you cross that line, that's trespassing. And you know what, people of God? We sin. We trespass. We commit iniquities, whatever word you like, a lot. Remember the old wording from the catechism? We daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. Think about this fantastic forgiveness. I was thinking about the word redeem the other day. Came up in catechism class, redeem. Reminded the class that we give it the classic definition to buy back or to set free. When we think about being redeemed, we sing that word redeemer, that name redeemer. I know that my redeemer lives. We love every Easter. Redeem, buy back. You know the picture? The picture is back in the ancient times, if you had a big debt, a humongous debt, what happened to you if you couldn't pay your debt? When you had a humongous debt, they put you in debtor's prison, debtor's jail. And how long did you stay in debtor's jail, debtor's prison? Till you could pay your debt. I asked those young people in class the other day, how do you pay your debt if you're in debtor's jail? They said, you can't, because you're in jail. You can't work. You can't earn money. And I reminded them there's only one way out of debtor's prison. Somebody else had to pay. That's how a person got out of debtor's jail years ago. Somebody else had to pay. We owe a beyond grand debt of sin. Daily sin much. Daily sin a lot. I don't know if we could ever even calculate how many sins we've committed. And for those sins, to free us from the dark, dank, doomy dungeon of hell, with its torments and tortures and eternal lake of fire, to be paid for, to set free, somebody to be redeemed. Somebody had to pay. I stand in front of this baptismal font with the cross. Our Savior paid in full. And you and I, when we go to our Savior God by grace through our faith in Jesus, who was nailed to that cross for us, when we go to our Savior with our sins, what did that reading remind us? Seven times? James or Peter learned from Jesus 77 times. Every single day when I go to my Savior morning and evening and say, God, please forgive my sins, when I repent of my daily sins, every single time, forgiven. Fantastic. Fantastic forgiveness. Isn't it? Isn't it fantastic? Almost unbelievable that he would do that for me and you. Somebody sins against me or you 77 times. Are we going to keep forgiven? After a while, we're going to finally say, enough's enough. Not our God. That's what makes his forgiveness fantastic. And do you know what else? We don't earn that forgiveness. We don't deserve that forgiveness, do we? It's his grace, his undeserved, unmerited love, because he loves me, he forgives me. We should look at what God's word has to say as we think about this fantastic forgiveness. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle says to the Lord, increase our faith. If you understood what was said there, it's not so much about our God forgiving us. He teaches us to forgive others. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer repeatedly, thousands of times? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That petition of the Lord's Prayer is saying, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Please forgive me. And Lord, help me to forgive others the same way that you've forgiven me. It's pretty fantastic that the Lord works the kind of faith, trust, love in my heart and yours, changes my dirty, grimy, filthy, black heart, cleanses my heart with the blood of the Lamb so that I can forgive, so that you can forgive as a child of God like your Heavenly Father does for you. Are there times when people sin against you, do things that hurt you by their words, by their actions? Things you find about somehow through someone else, probably. Our God teaches us to be like him, to forgive. Now, what's amazing about our Savior's forgiveness is that when he forgives, he forgets. It's like our sins never happened. I've said that many times over the years, that verse that reminds me my sins are like smoke going up into the air. When they're forgiven, they're forgotten, they're gone, like they didn't happen. Fantastic. Seems like too little a word. Those same sins he describes elsewhere, they're removed from us, they're gone from us, removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Fantastic. That forgiveness comes from our faith in him, our trust in him, our believing in him. Those disciples heard about that forgiveness that Jesus gave them and how they were supposed to forgive up to 7 times, which means always forgive. And what do those disciples say? Lord, increase our faith. Fantastic forgiveness. He's redeemed me. He's bought me. He's paid for me. As we think about that forgiveness, we also think about how we're to live. We're living in such a way that brings honor and praise and glory to his name. Because if we're having this message about forgiveness, we should think about who do we forgive. It might be fairly simple to forgive someone who regularly forgives us. Kind of even Stephen. Oh, yeah, I mess up and I sin against them. And when they mess up again, and back and forth. Forgiveness. What about when somebody you don't like or your enemy, as God's word would call that person, wrongs you? I know my nature. I know your nature. We want to hold a grudge. We want to remember. We don't want to forgive. We want to get even. Lord, help me forgive others, even as you have forgiven me. When we think about how hard it is to forgive them, then we look at the cross. Then we ponder what our Savior has done for us in such a fantastic way, giving us forgiveness. There's other parts of our text, though, that we want to consider. At the beginning, it talks about how we want to live our faith. I heard earlier this morning on the radio about believing. Believing is about ones who live for Jesus. As we live for Jesus, sometimes we have to be careful how we're living. He tells us the story at the beginning. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourself. We not only want to watch ourselves when it comes to forgiving, we also need to watch ourselves when it comes to what we might say or we might do or what we might even model for sin. I remind people, especially parents and grandparents often, that children, grandchildren are watching us. They're modeling us. They're mimicking us. That means I'm going to watch my actions. I want to model faith. I want to model being in church every Sunday. I want to model sitting at the table praying. I want to model that they see me having devotions. I want to model Christian's actions of love towards his or her neighbor. We don't want to use the kind of language, the kind of words, the kind of dirty stories or jokes or something that children might pick on. Oh, is that the way? Or pick up on. Is that the way a Christian speaks or acts? We want to model our faith. We want to model our trust. We want to remind young people that we want to give to our God the best of our time, the best of our talents, the best of our treasure, the best of our strength, the best of our perspiration, because our gracious God gave us his best, his only begotten, his one and only Son. Isn't that fantastic? Forgiveness in Christ. Isn't it fantastic? I know this is just another Sunday of the church year, and we're on the first Sunday of October and all the rest, but man, every time we come into God's house and we confess to our God, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities. The pastor standing up here has the opportunity to speak for God and say, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. When you think about that forgiveness, did you ever pay attention that that announcement of forgiveness, that absolution as it's called, that announcement of forgiveness, you know where it is in the service? Always almost at the beginning. Why? Why do we want to hear about that fantastic forgiveness at the beginning of a service? Oh, we sing a hymn, we have an invocation, then there's that confession of sins and announcement of forgiveness. Why at the beginning? It sets a tone for the other 55 minutes. My sins are gone, forgiven, forgotten. Fantastic. For 55 minutes, I want to give my God my best of my voice, the best of my heart, the best of my praise, the best of my thanks. And when I go out those doors with that Holy Spirit who's pictured on this cross, I want to go out those doors and live for him. I don't know what you'll remember from today, but I hope you'll simply remember two little words. Fantastic forgiveness in Christ. His forgiveness for me, for you, for you, for you, young and old, teen and toddler, his forgiveness. Fantastic. Amen.